The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene Marks, yoga's better, right?
I'm a yoga practitioner and also a Pilates practitioner and also a Zumba practitioner. Because, you know, I'm a sugar-ner like that.
You know, I don't think Zumba's really taken off here in South Africa, you know.
You know what?
Lindiwe is nodding. She's saying to me,
"The Zumba take off."
Lindiwe is nodding her head. She's saying it actually has. Lindiwe, do you do Zumba?
I do it. I love it a lot. It's one of my favorite classes at gym.
Really, Zumba?
Yes, it's the best. You don't even feel like you're doing it.
Because you're just having fun.
Yeah, and then you see, like, 2 weeks later, you look nice and slim.
Oh, is that what it is? Or the next
tons day? Of fun.
Oh, that's awesome. I really hadn't. Do any men participate in Zumba? Nah, can't be.
They do.
We don't have the cohort.
No, there are men in my class.
I know, but that probably hurt people. Because I once remember when aerobics was huge in the 80s, I know everybody would go left and I would go right. I hurt people, Rolene. I hurt people. Not intentionally.
Listen, you should be in my Zumba class. Remember, this is a Zumba class in Israel, and Israelis don't abide by laws.
Imagine.
So if you say, you know, some go left, some go right, me, I prefer to be in the center.
Yeah, you know what? Everything's negotiable. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. Israel seeks a secret ballot in UNESCO's Hebron vote. Tell us about it.
Okay, so we discussed last week that, again, the Palestinians are trying to resort to these kind of tactics where they appeal to UN agencies such as UNESCO. And we know over the last year or so, UNESCO have put forward horrendous resolutions disputing our claims to certain holy sites, including the temple, including the Temple Mount, including the Kotel parts of Jerusalem, etc. So now the Palestinians are saying that the Ma'arat HaMachpelat, or Tomb of the Patriarchs, or as they call it, the Ibrahimi Mosque, should become part of a Palestinian heritage site. Israel launched an offensive against this, saying absolutely not. You know, this again is an attempt to politicize holy sites. And they responded with, yes, but these are sites that are in danger because of a variety of reasons. There's vandalism, there's violence, etc., which is not true. So Israel not only has barred UNESCO members from visiting the site of Hebron because they say they won't have our holy sites politicized like this and used for cheap gain, but they've actually lobbied for the vote at the World Heritage Committee to be done by secret ballot. And the reason is this: they feel very strongly that if the vote is by secret ballot, many do not feel that they have to pander to any kind of agenda, that people can vote based on what is right and what is true and not be called out publicly if they are seen to be contravening popular popular support.
Is there any chance of getting the secret ballot through?
Well, I hope so. We don't know if it's going to go through, but we say that, well, what we have heard from the ambassador to UNESCO in Paris, Carmel Shammah HaCohen, who says that if there is a public ballot, we will lose. But if it is closed, it could be that we might ensure the necessary two-thirds majority and that even one vote could make a difference. So they're lobbying very, very hard for this to happen via secret ballot.
Or a couple of WhatsApp coming through, you know, people take us very seriously. Somebody saying Zumba must fall, obviously a reference to Zuma, and Unsigned also saying Zuma comes before Zumba. So we've just had a DA member of parliament with us in the studio, everybody getting their Zumbas and their Zumas, very, very confused. It is Whiskey Thursday, so we do get that.
And you know what? In solidarity, I have a glass of wine here. I don't have the whiskey, but I do have a glass of wine waiting
for me to
come off air and imbibe in solidarity with you.
Well, why wait? Okay, let's talk about Sharansky. We've also had lots, and Rolene, even before we came on air this afternoon, we had tons of messages, and I really do appreciate them, from our listeners, many disagreeing with the stance that you and I have taken over the week, and I really do respect that. There's been some very good points made. And they, as I say, lots and lots of listener participation in it. Sharansky is saying that we can sort out the conversion and the cartel issues, but trust has been broken. This is a very, very negative statement coming from Natan Sharansky.
Okay, well, the fallout from the removal of the egalitarian services at the cartel, and again, I must stress, and I can't stress enough, and I know Avi Meyer has stressed it, having egalitarian services take place at Robertson Arch, which is far removed from the cartel plaza as we know it. The status quo there would not change. All that would happen is that there would be a mixed service at yonder end of the cartel, which is like in the nosebleed seats, mm-hmm. So that's that. So I want to just reiterate that. But we've had very strong language. And also, you know, yesterday we discussed the effect that this could have on funding, and I want to discuss the effect that this could have politically. We've heard two big statements. We've heard Malcolm Hunlan, who is the vice president of the Conference of Presidents of Major American Organizations, and he said this needs to be sorted out ASAP, or the divide between diaspora Jewry, and he's saying not just American Jewry, but European Jewry, other diaspora communities, and Israel will be catastrophic. Catastrophic. We also have heard human rights activist and chairman of the Jewish Agency, Natan Sharansky, also weighing in, saying that if we sort out the issues around the conversion and around the kotel, because there is a very good chance that both of these issues are going to the High Court, and the High Court might overrule Netanyahu's government as it stands. These issues will be going to the High Court, and they can be sorted out. However, the trust between diaspora Jewry and the current government has been damaged. And, you know, I think that, and I'm really appealing to the listeners to take maybe an emotional and religious to leave those kind of opinions behind and look at it from a different perspective. Look at it from the perspective that we in Israel, we who live in Israel, have to deal with. We've already heard the ambassador to Israel from the United States, David Friedman, say yesterday he never in his lifetime thought he would hear the words that a major American Jewish organization is considering breaking ties with Israel because they feel this passionately. Now, why I want to discuss the political ramifications is that if you've got a diaspora, especially an American diaspora, who are not strongly supportive of the state of Israel, we don't have any a Jewish electorate, and we don't have Jewish lobbying groups, which we really, really need. You know, forget about certain conspiracy theorists, etc., etc. We need that strong electorate, that strong lobby group, the lobby group that filters out to not just Jews but our supporters as well, for a strong Israel. Because right now we have a very strong ally in the United States in the Trump administration. This could change.
So really, what you're saying,
Rolene, very cognizant of this.
Really, what you're saying is religious issues aside, there's a practical element to it, and to some extent, I guess the Haredi community finds itself in a very, very similar position, because they very often, or some of them, some of the Haredi community certainly, don't recognize the state, don't support the IDF, but aren't uncomfortable about taking subsidies, for example, for the yeshivas, etc., which means that we know practically we shouldn't assume that anybody is above looking at a practical survival strategy. And that's really what you're saying. Now, I want you to read I want to read you a quite an angry WhatsApp that's been coming through whilst you've been talking, and it says as follows. In fact, it was the same person. They resent their WhatsApp that they sent the other day. Herzl offered the Pope to convert most Jews to Catholicism. You can turn as much as you like. That was the comment you made. He's been turning, whatever. So you So, as you are both strong Zionists, did you research your forefather founder, my forefather founder, apparently, and yours, Rolene? He did not bris his kids. Bet you both never gave it another thought. You are both blind. Who gives blood when there is a war? It's the same one. Who gives blood when there is a war? So I think something just from a personal point of view that I want to clarify, because it's a very, very strange, very, very strange thought process that this follows. Number one, I don't think that any of this has got to do with the founders of Zionism. I think the founders of Zionism were deeply, there were many, many issues that were enormously problematic. The one of the main ones being that they separated they tried to separate in many, many ways, and not all of them, religion and Israel. And that is something that I find completely perplexing and abhorrent. I find the issue with the Yemenite children to be majorly problematic, and I think that goes towards a lot of it. Why this is relevant, I have no idea. I don't know why it's relevant whether Herzl circumcised his children or not. I actually don't care. What I do care about is we've got a thriving state that protects Jews around the world, that protects Jews in Israel, that is a shining light from a humanitarian, from a medical, from an innovative perspective. The fact is that only because of the state of Israel have we had a revival of Judaism that has never been seen before. It's only because we have a strong state which is supported by money that comes from overseas, from diaspora Jews and Christians around the world, do we have the ability to sit in yeshivas and learn. And the arrogance of people to saying that we don't need that and we are so morally superior because we are able to learn and we're so deeply religious that we look with disdain at anybody that isn't, I find appalling, embarrassing, and unbelievably naive. I actually cannot get over it. And if you talk about Rolene and I being both blind, well, look at yourself, sunshine. Look at yourself. All right, there we go. That's me off my high
Howard,
horse.
First of all, I bow down to the awesomeness that is you. I just have a very curious question for this person, because yesterday I was attacked by somebody and told I was not welcome at the Kotel by somebody who does not live here. Okay, now we all have a relationship with Israel. We all have a relationship with the Kotel. Herzl was the founding father of modern Zionism. He was very, very famously secular and had his own belief systems. And maybe you don't agree with that. Whether he brisked his kids, I don't know. I also don't care. I also don't know and also don't care if stories with the Pope. Somehow I doubt that, but Gegesunter hate, that is what you believe. I live in the state of Israel. Okay, I pay tax. I interact every single day with young soldiers, some of them who are religious, some of them who are not religious, who are putting their lives on the line to make sure that we have a place to call home, mm-hmm. wherever in the world you live, and that I don't have rockets and mortars falling on my home. Young men and women, some of them Absolutely. Are my friends, and some of them are the children of my friends, and some of them are my relatives, one of which is going to be serving in my gov, the elite border guards in Jerusalem. To make a comment like that is absolutely, it's atrocious, it's appalling. This is the reason why this whole issue is polarizing Jews, and I really want this person, who I'm sure is anonymous, I want you to clarify where in the world you live.
Yeah, well, it's a South African number, so I'd imagine they live here. But I just find us this subject to be. I find people enormously arrogant, I have to tell you.
And yet, I have to say another thing. I have had messages from people who are Dati Lomi, who go to yeshiva, mm-hmm. who are Torah learned Jews, who serve in the army, who pay their tax, who have said, we don't see why there's an issue if there's an egalitarian area. Everybody is welcome. This is our country. This is our country. You know, 3 years ago, we went en masse to the Kotel, to what remains of our holy temple, to pray for the returning of three young boys who were murdered because they were Jewish, who were murdered because they were Israeli. Nobody cared what stream of Judaism you were. We all went there to please pray for the souls of these three young boys. Well, at the time we went to pray, may they be returned safely. We go en masse to what remains of our temple, to whether it's Birkat Kohanim or whether it is to pray for the safety of this country. The safety of this country, to have this divisiveness from people who are sitting, you know, so far away, causing more unity. When we here in Israel need your support, and we here in Israel want to support you.
So this person does go on to say that my son saw action in Lebanon, and I think that's amazing that your son did was part of the IDF. I think that's absolutely amazing. But unfortunately, what it doesn't do is recognize some of the negativity that is introduced by some of those comments. But the truth is, again, I don't want to discourage people from this line of this opinion, because it is very, very clear to me, Rolene, that many of our listeners, in fact, the majority that have messaged us vehemently, and I think it's an interesting reflection of South African society, and in this regard, you and I should not be too judgmental either. But it is very much a reflection of where the South African community stands. The South African community, if we look at our listener base, is vehemently against the egalitarian and pluralistic minyanim at the Kotel. It's whether we like that or not, that is the reality that is reflected by our listener base. Again, I want to clarify that I've never prayed in an egalitarian minyan, and I never intend to do so. It is not my way. It's not my derech, but my whole view is that you, again, and it's what I said in my article, I'll say it over and over again, you gain so much more by inviting someone to a Shabbat dinner than by throwing stones at them. Brian saying, unfortunately, Bibi is controlled by the religious faction in Israel. That unsigned saying, or in any of our shuls. I'm not sure really what that means or what that refers to. Raleigh, no, that's unfortunately where we leave it. This has been quite a hectic week for us.
You know, I think we've earned those whiskeys and those wines.
Not even a question. You know,
and
take
I just want to give a shout out to our listeners, because we welcome your disagreement. It's agreed to disagree on certain topics. And I thank you for those who
are awesome.
Supportive. But really, guys, sometimes play the issues, not the players.
Oh, yeah. And you're not really blind, and I'm not really a traitor to the Jewish state, Rolene. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying, Howard, dedicate your life to the Jewish people.
I know.
You dedicate your life to the Jewish people.
Just because somebody says it doesn't make it so. It's okay, Rolene. I enjoy it. I welcome it. And I think that any way that we could have a discourse, whether it's people agree with us or not, I think is healthy. As you say, obviously it's better to play the issue than the people. But you know what? I absolutely adore our listeners for engaging as they do. We are going to have to leave it there. Raleigh Marks, you have a fantastic weekend. Shabbat Shalom. Just kick back, relax, and we'll speak to you Monday afternoon again, please God.
I will catch you in studio on Monday afternoon.
Oh, my word. This is true. In a studio with Rolene Marks on Monday. So, we're going to put something good on Facebook, and hopefully we'll be able to, we'll get a lot more listener, have a lot more listener participation. Time is 5:30. That unsigned WhatsApp person saying, a listener saying, have a good evening, you too.